The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz. Degenerates 975. Can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also hit us up on Twitch. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, pretty much all football and a little Alex Jones at the end. So, Got a Grind says, it's to the officer's discretion if he thinks you're drunk or not, and usually they're going to book you. I might see Alex Jones at my next court date. I got the same thing. I think that's bull bleep. I mean, for one thing, I don't trust those things.
Yeah.
To begin with. But if you're under, I mean, what the hell? Isn't that why they say, well, you're under the legal limit?
That's kind of the way I look at it.
But, yeah, that's pretty draconian, man. I am not a fan. Not a fan if you've been arrested under the legal limit. So, Dustin asks, I'd be interested in your perspective of media not being allowed in MLB clubhouse. It's not just MLB now. It's NBA, hockey, everybody. I honestly don't have a real problem with it. I've always kind of felt like you don't need to be in the locker room. And they're my old colleagues will disagree with me, but if you want to set up an interview with somebody, then you know go through channels. But I think there's things in the locker room that shouldn't be, you know, the reporters shouldn't be in there looking for. And I know why
like
they're
coronavirus.
Doing well, and I know they're doing it to prevent coronavirus, which is
allegedly.
Kinda, yeah, I mean it's not just the press that they're keeping out. They don't want people who might spread the disease in there. That's fine. I think there's a good chance that they never let them back in there, and I'm not really bothered by it. So,
Speaking of coronavirus ruining things, the Ivy League tournament was canceled today.
Yeah. That cost you some money?
No, it didn't, but it's kind of unfortunate. I mean, the Ivy League's already they used to do this. They used to just take their regular season winner and you know, send them to the tournament. Then they went to this four-team tournament. The top four teams in the Ivy play basically a mini tournament. And then what happens today is they say, well, due to coronavirus, we're saying that Yale is the champions. They won the regular season. We're canceling the Ivy League tournament. But they're still going to send Yale to the NCAA tournament, which seems like a greater risk. And then they're still, they've got there's the lacrosse teams that are playing now at the Ivy League schools. They're mm-hmm. getting ready to go play lacrosse on their road trips. They're still going. They're still traveling. If it's that big of a deal, just play it in an empty building. We've talked about that. If that's what it takes, if you're that worried, just run the games in an empty building. The women's side, I don't think they've canceled their role or their tournament.
Actually, they've canceled the women's tournament too.
The Ivy League has?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at an update of everything that's been canceled, and it's kind of pissing me off, to be honest.
The reality of it is, it's not fair, and it's also, in my opinion, sort of silly. The fans and the crowd, those aren't that's not the danger. I mean, you don't get close enough to players when you're in the crowd to give them coronavirus. The student athletes, the coaches, bus drivers, hotel personnel.
Well, and that's why they're not letting people in locker rooms on this other thing, which is fine. But yeah, I think if your idea is, well, the fans will get it from each other. Well, okay. I mean, I think that's more the concern, not the players. It's like you don't want a bunch of fans there in case one of them has it and gives it to everybody else.
Yeah.
I got to be careful with this because I'm so sick of this overreaction to this damn thing. It is not the plague. It is not the end of the world. It's a bad flu. And yeah, why don't we just be smart? Why don't we just wash our hands like we're taught to do? Why don't we cover our mouths when we cough? If we're sick, stay home. That's simple. That's simple. Instead, we're turning this into this incredibly scary thing. And I'll be perfectly honest. If you're scared or if you've got immune system problems or anything like that, and you want to be worried about it,
probably sit it out.
Be worried about it. That's fine. That is totally understandable.
The athletes know the risk, though.
Well, and honestly, I know the risk of going to a sporting event. If I want to go see a damn game, if I'm healthy, I'm going to go. If I wind up getting sick, that's my decision. And I'm not really cool with some of this stuff, like the county of Santa Clara banning gatherings of more than 1,000 people. So basically, if you want to go to a Sharks game, I guess you have to be in the lottery for 1,000 tickets. And what's the difference between 1,000 and 1,500? I mean, it's just, I think this is so silly the way people are reacting to this. Yeah, we're creating a panic where I don't think there needs to be one. Should we be careful? Absolutely. Should we be smart? Yeah. Should we start restricting people? Man, to me, that is, you start telling me what I can't do. Yeah, if I'm infected, I can't be the guy going to the school with the father-daughter thing.
Right.
I can't be the idiot in Japan going to the bar. If I do that, guess what? I should be arrested. But if I'm healthy and I want to go to a bleeping football game, I'm going to go to a bleeping football game. That's my choice. Don't be putting communism on me. Don't be putting China on me. And it's everybody's choice. So.
And then the other thing about it is, like, this is a big deal for these Ivy League kids. And they, now, mind you, they've got financial aid and things like that, but they don't offer athletic scholarships. So these guys playing in the Ivy League, they're not there on scholarship. They're not your average student athletes, which means they're, and plus they're going to an Ivy League school. They're working their ass off to play basketball.
These guys are all going to go to law school and stuff like that and get paid big time that
for
way.
Really, yeah, I don't want to say for nothing, but I mean.
No, it's not for nothing. Yeah, I mean, an Ivy League education is worth millions.
Right, but what I'm saying is they're not. It's not like another school where you get the education for playing basketball.
Right.
I mean, it's not as simple as all that. To me, this, like, they're playing for especially because most of those guys are never going to play at another, a higher level. This is what they play all season for. And you're taking it away from them. It seems wrong to me.
Well, I feel less sorry for those guys because, you know, yeah, they're playing it for the love of the game, which is great. They're also getting an education that's going to set them up for the rest of their lives, and basketball's an extra thing. But I think that all of this stuff is overreacting. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, somebody says somewhere in between the overreaction and what Fred is saying, but seriously, please don't compare it to the flu. Doctors are comparing it to the flu. So, yeah, I'm going to compare it to the flu. So stop asking me not to. Bad flus kill people. They kill old people. They spread all over the place. But let's quit acting like this is the plague, man. You guys are buying into this media bullcrap, and it's embarrassing. It really is. I'm embarrassed by the media. Like, every single thing on TV. Oh, coronavirus. 400 people now. Woo! How many do we have in this country? 330 million?
Something like that.
I'm not good at math, but that's not very much by comparison. So, yeah. But you guys can bleep off with that crap. I'm tired of people trying to, you know, basically scare the hell out of everybody else. If you want to be scared, that's your choice. I'm not doing it. And, you know, if I get sick, I get sick. So, I'll take my 2 weeks off. I'd rather get it right now. Come inject me so I can get the hell out of the way.
I will say this. The U.S. currently has 822 cases, it says here.
Okay.
Italy had 889 cases on February 28th. 11 days later, Italy has 10,149 cases and 631 deaths. So I'm not saying it's going to spread at that rate, but I'm saying it's capable of spreading at that rate.
Well, if it does, it does. I mean, we can't, it's not like we're going to be able to stop it. I don't think staying home.
I mean, stopping it is one thing, but I mean, doing whatever you can to prevent it.
Well, but there's a lot
from spreading.
So why not just do what you're supposed to do to keep disease from spreading?
Well, I'm for that too.
Mm. And somebody asked, did you hear Dr. Drew's take about it? Yeah, I'm kind of with him. I'm kind of with Elon Musk, who kind of said the same thing. We're creating panic here over something that ain't that serious. Yes, people are dying from it, but people die every day from diseases, especially when their body's not equipped to handle something like this. I mean, all those guys that died in Seattle are all from the same old folks' home.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So it says, Fred, would you rather be Italy? You're off on this one. No, I'm not off on anything. Because you can think whatever you want. You can be scared to death. You can go buy up everything you want. That's your choice. I'm just saying I'm not. And I'm not scared. I'm not worried about it. So there. It's my opinion.
You're not allowed to have an opinion.
No. It's my opinion is that we are being scared to death for no reason. Maybe not for no reason, but it's way beyond what's actually happening. So, anyway.
Better doubt Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dave, can I sue these people for giving me coronavirus?
No.
Okay.
You can't, Fred, but I know you're not scared of anything, so I appreciate your manliness.
Yeah, it's not manliness. It's just I don't believe in scare tactics, which, of course, if an insurance company is going to try to do to you if you've been in an accident.
That's a very good point. They hire lots of people who are psychologically trained to try to get you to settle your valid claim for little or no money. That's what they're paid to do. So what does that happen? If you have an accident, what do you have to do? You better dial Dave at 713-626-8900. I'll take the fear out of the process. I'll help you get to a doctor if you don't have any money, won't I, Fred?
Exactly, and you don't charge for consultations, and even if you can't help them, you're going to put them with somebody who can.
Yeah, we take all kinds of calls, any kind of legal question at all. I'll be glad to help you if I can, and as Fred just said, if it's not something I do, I'll point you in the direction of somebody who can help you, for sure. And anytime you call me or you come in for a consult, it's always absolutely free.
Yeah, and you don't get not a dime out of their pocket until you win, right?
That's exactly how it works again, Fred. We take this ride together. I gamble on your case that we're going to get paid, and I get a percentage of whatever we win. That's how it works in our office, for sure.
All right, tell them how to get in touch with you.
I'm Houston-based lawyer Dave, David Mestemaker, 713-626-8900, or lawyerdave.com. Or Lawyer Dave Law is my Twitter handle. Or, worst comes to worst, get a hold of my buddy Fred. He knows how to find me 24/7.
Yeah, I definitely had a couple people do that this week, including a guy overseas who I gave all your info to. So it's real easy. I'll pass it on if you can't remember that. They need a lawyer. What do?
They better dial Dave.
Kiss you next week.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple more things about this, then we'll move on. But the only reason for me why I'm just taking extra precaution is because my wife, who is pregnant, my one-year-old. Absolutely, if you've got little kids, like, you know, my grandmother's 96. I don't want her out and about. And she can't really get out and about anymore, but that would be dangerous for her. If somebody like that, or like I said, if you've got, if you have some kind of immune problems, yeah, you should take extra precautions. What I'm worried about is this idea of quarantining people who aren't sick. Because I don't think we're that far away from it. When we start saying you can't congregate in groups, you can't do this, the next thing they're going to do is tell everybody to stay home who's not sick. That worries me. That's communism. I'm against that.
Yeah.
Because I'm an American and I'm about freedom. But I think we should just keep it in perspective is all. I'm not trying to belittle it in any way or belittle people's beliefs about it. All I'm just trying to say is let's keep this thing in perspective. It's not the plague. And I think we're getting it's getting almost to hysteria things. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. All right. What do you want to get to next?
What else should we get into? I don't want to talk any more coronavirus.
I'm done with that.
Shane is going back to the Fairbairn thing.
Yeah.
And he says market values for kickers is higher than it has been in the past because of moving the extra points back. Combine that with the salary cap going up, then this is the market value for an average kicker, plain and simple. And I said the market value for an average kicker is paying him top five money. And he said there's only $500,000 that separates him from the middle of the pack. By the time the other kickers sign, re-sign, he won't be top five. He'll be lucky to crack the top 10, if not the top half. And I'll go back to, if you're paying this guy extra money because kicking's more important because the extra point got moved back, why are you paying a guy top five money who tied for the league lead and missed extra points? I mean, isn't that all the more reason not to re-sign him if that's getting more and more important?
Yeah, I think, it's really hard for me to sit here and be completely critical without having all the numbers and putting it into context with everybody else. I don't know why you need to pay the guy that much on the surface, but I mean, a lot of times you see those numbers, you know how it is. Then you get into the actual contract and it's like, oh, well, he's going to make $4 million this year, but you can whack him the next year and it doesn't cost you anything. I just need to see all that. And that's it. I mean, on the surface, I think it makes no sense.
I don't see how you can. I don't see how you can make it make sense. It doesn't make
sense.
But
that's why you need the numbers and the context with other kickers and, you know, what the going rate is for an average kicker at this stage. I mean, he might be top five, but the difference isn't that much.
It shouldn't have even been a conversation until you got the important contracts done.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that.
You're doing everything out of order.
Well, maybe they're getting the easier ones done first just to get them out of the way. I mean, maybe. I mean, it's obviously pretty easy. I'm sure they called him and said, hey, we want to pay you this. And his agent's like, okay. I'll take it. Yeah.
Like it's like going out and getting your windows tinted when you know that you need brakes and the transmission's leaking. Like you're going to have to fix some important things on the car.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not quite the same thing. It just depends on how your roster building is. If you have easy ones, you get those out of the way.
No, there's
because the more difficult negotiations are obviously going to be guys like Tunsil and Watson.
Those are the easy ones because you know what you're giving them.
Not necessarily. I mean, you know the parameters of what you're going to give them, but there's years, there's guaranteed money. I think those are definitely, I mean, the ones that you can get out of the way that aren't going to be a part of the salary cap.
Okay.
And let's face it. I mean, yeah, $4 million is not a big hit to a salary cap.
Let's not even look at the number that's on it. Can we agree that Kymie Fairbairn is just a guy?
Well, yeah.
And if there was some other kicker here
next year.
We're
arguing different things, though. I don't think Kymie Fairbairn's worth the money. I wouldn't have signed him. But it obviously to them, and I think they're wrong about this, they think he's a piece they want to keep. That's an easy one to get out of the way. When you get to the harder negotiation, you knock out your Daniel Fells, your Kymie Fairbairns, your punter that you overpaid, which we haven't talked about. You knock all that out. Now, ideally, you would have gotten better deals for better players, but then you focus on the ones. Some teams are going to sign the big ones first. Other guys are going to get the little ones out of the way because they're easier.
Here's what I'm doing. I'm getting those big ones out of the way, and then I'm getting my priority secondary needs out of the way, which means a cornerback, probably more on the defensive line.
But those guys unless you're signing your own guys, you can't do that yet.
That's fine. So are they that worried that Fairbairn's going to hit the open market? let him then. If some other dummy team wants to pay him $4 million, by all means.
Well, I agree, but I think we're talking about two different things.
I'm saying that signing your kicker should be really, really low on the priority list unless you've got a special kicker, and the Texans don't.
No, that I agree with 100%, but I also think that your point that, well, let's just get the most important stuff done first, I think there's two different ways to approach that. There's let's get the easy ones out of the way, and the ones that are going to be more difficult, because Tunsil, you can wait. I mean, I wouldn't. I would get it done now.
I would too.
But you got him for another year. You can franchise him the next year, too. So you got him for two more years. And so obviously those negotiations, and maybe he wants to wait and see what some of these other cats are going to get. Because if you're paying Trent Williams $20 million a year, I mean, Tunsil probably deserves more. So, I mean, those are a lot more complicated than signing your tight end and signing these other guys. I agree on Fairbairn. I'm not arguing that point at all. I'm arguing that on roster construction, to just say, well, let's get the important ones out of the way first, it's not that simple. If it were that simple, wouldn't the Cowboys already have Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott signed?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's very complicated with guys that are at the top because Deshaun Watson is going to want to get paid.
Okay. What I'm saying is so throw Deshaun and Laramie into one corner because you know you're going to pay them tons of money anyway.
Right.
I'm saying signing the secondary piece, signing the defensive lineman, that stuff is much more important to me than a kicker.
If
it comes down to I can have this level cornerback for this amount, or if I pay an extra $3 million, I can get a much better cornerback. But I have to skimp on my kicker. I'll skimp on my kicker. I would much rather have a $1 million kicker that if he starts the season like Fairbairn started the season, I can kick his ass to the curb and bring in another $1 million kicker to do his job.
No, I all of that I agree with. But in the grand scheme of things, that $3 million a year is not going to keep you from getting a cornerback. They've got enough cap space. They didn't spend it all last year. And it doesn't look like they're going to spend it this year. But, I mean, I'm with you. I don't think the guy's worth it. I don't understand what the hell they're thinking. But okay, you want to sign a kicker, go ahead. But I don't think it's as crippling as you say it is. And I can't do that until I go year by year on what the actual cap numbers are. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Guys.
On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. It's time for Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, host of Houston Sports Show on KPRC Channel 2 and ESPN 97.5, and the man responsible for Kaimi Fairbairn's big contract. What's going on, Jerome?
Really? That's where you want to go with this? Why y'all all in my man's pocket? He ain't done nothing to nobody. He kicked the ball. The ball come. He kicked the ball. The ball go left. The ball go right. The ball go down the middle sometimes. He ain't just got to pick a paycheck up. Why y'all all in this business? Keep your hands out of my pocket is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That wasn't a winning argument. Okay, let's try this. The run on kickers that's about to occur that Bill O'Brien has scoped out and is way ahead of everyone else in football. The run on kickers, another year from now, y'all will be like, man, my boy is like underpaid and the Texans have him locked up. What a smart, intelligent move. So y'all are just behind. Y'all behind. That's all.
Okay, I'm gonna just take your word for it, sir.
Again, I'm putting this out there, and y'all should be at some point saying, "You got a good point, Jerome."
No, I think we're on different pages.
Well, if I thought you actually believed that, then yeah, maybe I would actually give you credit. So,
I will say, I am. I'm never in anybody's pocket about the money they're making, and I will and really, truly, it won't matter. it's not like the money they're giving him is going to keep them from signing somebody else. It's just stupid. It makes no sense. It is, and I don't get why. There's no real reason for it. It's not. There's no connection that makes you go, oh, I understand why you did this. And even if the reason was bad, oh, you did this because he's married to your daughter, so he's your son-in-law. You hooked him up. There's nothing like that. He's not one of the top 10 kickers in the league, one of the top 15 kickers in the league, and you pay him as a top three. That's just ridiculous. Again, it doesn't matter. The money's not going to stop them from signing anybody else. It's still stupid, though.
Well, at least they're giving us a little something to talk about here. With free agency coming up, have you heard any names that they might be in on? Because I kind of feel like they're a total mystery with O'Brien as GM. Have you heard anything at all?
Yeah, they're good on the mystery thing, and a lot of teams are that. So it's not just about O'Brien where you don't have a good feel for it. But based on just – and this is strictly on my feel for it and – talking to the agents that I know very well and who talk to me a lot and the feeling around the league, they're not big-time players. Because the big-time players in free agency, the word gets out. Agents are, like, glad to say, hey, we heard from such-and-such team, and they really want my guy. You haven't heard they really want my guy from anybody, right? And that's not a Texas thing. That's an agent's thing. If the agents get a sense that a team is interested, they want to draw more interest from other teams. So I'm like, are they just they're just not going to go out of their way to get anybody? And as you guys have gone, you know, went into earlier, and I was joking about, you would sign your kicker last. After you did all the spectacular things you planned to do, right? Not first. So that might be a hint and a half for us.
Well, it's also a philosophy thing. I think kickers are a dime a dozen that you can get for the minimum, just like I don't think you need to have a long snapper. Can't you train one of your other backups to do that so that you're not wasting a roster spot? But nobody listens to me on those. So,
well, I will speak with you about the long snapper, and only because – if you got the right long snapper, he never misses a snap. And if you did someone else and they miss two snaps a season, that could be the difference in winning and losing a game. And that could be the difference in making or not making the playoffs or winning or not winning the Super Bowl. So, no, long snappers are – I mean, I know you think they're important, but I don't think they're as, you know, interchangeable – As you made it
yeah,
sound.
I just there. I don't think it's that hard of a skill for a really good athlete to learn, and somebody who can help you on the roster elsewhere.
Oh no, you're 100% correct about that. But how many people are willing to go through what it takes? I remember talking, having this discussion with my nephew when he was in high school, and I was like, "Dude, he was on a football team, Eisenhower, and they were." You know, a state championship caliber team, and they made it to the state title game a couple times or state semis, and they're really, really good. And he was an excellent player, interceptions, a DB, et cetera. I was like, dude, your kicker is some little soccer guy. You're bigger and stronger than him. You're more athletic than he is. If you learn how to do this, you can kick for a living. But are you willing to put in the effort to learn how to do it? And that's the thing. Yeah. There are 2 million people around planet Earth who can be a deep snapper, but there are only 50 of them who are putting the effort to learn how to do it and do it right. And so, no, they're not easily interchangeable because people won't do it. Yeah, it would be great if you had your third string cornerback who's a hell of a snapper. But the third string cornerback thinks he's a cornerback. He doesn't think he's a deep snapper.
Yeah, I think you're painting too many guys in the box. If I wouldn't want to learn that. I think there's a lot of players who would do anything to stay in the league as a third string tight end, and would definitely learn it. But that's just a difference of opinion. So I don't want to sit here and argue long snappers with you.
I think this is an interesting discussion because I've debated this on other things too. I get what you're saying, and you're not wrong about it on some level, but it's one of my things about why soccer in the U.S. isn't dominant like it should be, because there are guys who run 4.3s who can't play in the NFL, but they won't even try soccer. They were in high school and middle school and before that, never even tried soccer. And they would be great soccer players, but they wanted to be NFL players. They wanted to be superstar football players.
But
wanted to be basketball players.
But isn't that a little different argument? Because if you're running a 4.3 in high school, you're going to be a good high school football player for the most part. It's when you get to the next level. You can't go back and learn soccer when you're 19 years old. I mean, the guys who are good at it, it's just like any other sport. They've been playing it since they were five.
Right. Yeah, well, no, but my thing is, though, that I think that we decide if you're a great athlete, you're a football or basketball player and or a baseball player, the last thing you are is a soccer player. You go to any high school in America and go, give me your 10 best athletes. The soccer player, even on the best soccer team in high school, the 10 best athletes, the soccer guy is probably not that guy, generally speaking.
But it's also a different skill, man, and I don't think it's really that easy for us to say. Let me finish.
I think you're making the deep snapping sound easier than it is, but I don't know.
That's part of a football skill. Learning to play soccer is a totally different skill and takes a totally different kind of athlete. You've got to have endurance. You got to go out there and run for 90 minutes. A guy who runs a 4.3 might not be able to do that.
Right, but a deep snapper is not. That's not a football skill. I mean,
yeah, it is. Guess what centers do? They snap in the shotgun every single play. That's not a football skill. Get out of here.
Deep snapper. I can't believe we're arguing deep snapping here.
Well, I tried to let you eject, and you just made it worse with the whole soccer thing.
You gave me an out. You gave me an out. And I did take it. You're right. But wait a minute. No. But look at the centers in the league, and compare them to the rest of the players in the league. They're a different group. And deep snappers are a different group from the centers. Deep snappers, most of them are not even athletes. They're not football players. They're deep snappers.
Which makes my point, because the guys who are athletes who've been playing football their whole life can learn how to do that and still be a third string tight end.
I know.
And if you remember when your guy John Weeks was hurt, that was the third string tight end, went in and did just a fine job when Kubiak was still here.
I'm not arguing with you about the ability. I'm saying that you can't make I can't even think of a name off the top of my head, but give me a four-string linebacker, or not four-string, they don't have those, but the last linebacker on the roster with the Texans, you can't make that guy go in and be a deep snapper and learn how to do it. He's not going to do it. He wants to play linebacker.
Well, then I'll cut him and get somebody who will, because there's 100 guys who won his job and he's a fourth string linebacker.
I hear you, but if that sounds easy, but where are they?
Well, because teams aren't trying to do them. They're just going, hey, we're gonna give up a roster spot for a guy. This is all he does.
I think there should be a pipeline of guys who can deep snap, but I'm not dismissing the skill it takes to deep snap on the money every time for years and years and years, as a John Weeks has done. And even I look at him and go, like, if John Weeks can do it, there's got to be several thousand other people who could, but they don't exist.
Well, I respectfully disagree, but... Is there something else you want to ask him? Because this has gone on long enough.
I wanted to ask Jerome, what do you think of the Ivy League canceling their tournament? As we've been talking to you, it came down that the Big West has said they're going to play their conference tournament without spectators. So, I mean, this is obviously having a pretty widespread effect on the college basketball scene. What do you think of them doing this, either canceling tournaments or playing them in front of empty crowds? What do you think?
it's going to be crazy because there's no way to predict it. There's no way that none of the people who have made the decision, not none, but generally speaking, the decisions have been made without us being able to extrapolate, okay, that decision was made, so clearly the South Regional Sweet 16 weekend here in Houston is not going to be played either. You know what I mean? We haven't been able to connect one to the other because these have all been individual decisions separate from the bigger picture, and I just don't know. I mean, think about it. The 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, whatever it is, three of the biggest sporting events of the year and certainly the three biggest sporting events of the spring are all going to be going. The Masters, the Final Four, and what's the other one that I'm missing?
No, baseball starts.
And opening day
yeah.
of baseball, exactly. Are we not going to have any of those? You know, and baseball, for vast majority of the teams, they make way more money on opening day than they'll make the rest of the week for the baseball, that week of the first week of the season. You know, and the Final Four is the Final Four, and the Masters is, my goodness, the Masters, they could survive without making it, but it would be the worst spring sports season we've ever had if there's no Masters or no crowd at the Masters or no crowd at the Final Four or no crowd at, you know, baseball's opening day.
Or the no Japanese, crowd for the regional here. You know, not just the Final Four.
The regional is a step down, right. And the Japanese Baseball League has already said it's not doing its opening day. It's supposed to start on the 20th of March, and they're going to move it to April at some point. So they've already backed theirs up, and over and over and over, we're getting evidence that people are willing to shut it down, and I'm like, they're much more willing to shut it down than I think the capitalists are willing to shut it down. I mean, I assume, and I didn't make the call on it today, and I'm sorry, a sorry reporter for not having thought about it before today. But you know what? I was about to say, I know Jim Crane is like, no, I'm having opening day at Minute Maid Park. Forget that. But wouldn't he have, like, insurance to cover that if it doesn't happen?
I don't know.
I don't know if you can. I mean, how do you get insurance for that?
I don't know. But I'm a capitalist, so I'm against all this, just so you know.
Yeah, so I'm kind of guessing there's some insurance involved. So maybe these decisions are easier than we think they are. Because if insurance covers it, you just go, hey, we're good. I'll just take the cash without the headache and don't have to pay the wages for who have to come to work. But I'm cynical like that.
Yeah, so. I think the wages aren't going to out. That's not going to be more money than the revenue you get from people going in and buying beer and food and everything else and tickets and all that. But maybe it is.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. But I don't know what the insurance is. Hmm. Insurance could be bigger than that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Do a little reporting over there. And let us know. What would happen to the Astros?
I'm a sorry reporter for not having done it.
Well, you haven't done it but yet. That doesn't mean you can't.
You're mad about the deep snapping debate that you lost. That now I'm a bad reporter.
What are you? You're the president now. You just make stuff up and it's true. Oh, I won that debate. I'm the greatest. I'm the best. I'm tremendous.
I'm not that guy. But clearly, I won.
Yeah, you are that guy.
That's just what it is. If I was standing around people who knew me, they'd be saying, "That's right, you won. You won, Mr. President Jerome."
I didn't know you hung around with so many dumbs.
Look, Fred. The end of the discussion is, I presented an argument that was just factual, accurate, and winning, and you disagreed. Which made you wrong. I don't see what's the problem here.
Yeah, I would feel pretty good if we took a vote on that. That you would get about, you would do about as well as Elizabeth Warren did. So
the longer I go with this,
the worse you look.
I lose.
The worse you look.
Stop.
You need to withdraw from the race now. Anyway,
I was ahead earlier.
When you said hello, yeah.
Now that I have no no factual basis for anything I'm saying. I'm losing votes by the second. Let me go. Help me out.
All right, Jiro, fun stuff, man. And everybody make sure you tune in and listen to him here on Sunday mornings on the station and on, watch him on KPRC Channel 2 on Sunday nights, Houston Sports Show. Fun stuff, Jiro. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you, sir. Later. Okay.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
It's that time again, ESPN 97.5's second annual Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, supported by Four Roses Bourbon and Boost Mobile. Join us next Thursday as we broadcast live at Over Under Sports Bar and Grill in Webster from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And don't forget to submit your ESPN 97.5 bracket now, and you could win one of 97.5 prizes, like a custom Texas Mattress Maker's mattress and gift cards to various restaurants. Just head to ESPN975.com to enter. It's Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. Yeah, get in on the brackets, because even if there's nobody at the games, there'll be brackets.
Yeah, I mentioned during Jerome's segment, the Big West has said no spectators, which, by the way, like, the Honda Center is probably the worst building for college basketball in the world. It's a soulless building. There might as well not be any spectators anyway, so yeah. No big deal there. The MAC, they are, their tournament in Cleveland, they're going to have restricted attendance policy, which means basically the people allowed in are going to be people who work for the universities, family members of the student athletes, credentialed media, television, and radio crews, and official team party members. So, like, the athletic training staff, stuff like that. That's it. It's closed to the general public. So it's going to be really weird watching some of these games on television.
And you know what? There's going to be more that fought. Well, they don't have much time now because most of them start tomorrow. But I wouldn't be surprised if two or three more don't start doing the same thing here before the week's over. I mean, I think it's overreacting, but that's just me. A couple people were asking about the horse racing controversy. We did that yesterday at 5:15, and I also have a column coming tomorrow. So you can go back and listen to the podcast, or you can wait for tomorrow's column, which is pretty much the same thing I said yesterday, only, you know, written instead of yelled at. So let's do a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I find this more disgusting than the horse racing cheaters.
Ooh, okay.
A hospital employee is facing a felony battery charge after he allegedly sucked on the toes of an elderly female patient at a Florida hospital. Franz Eddie Beldorin, 23, allegedly victimized the sleeping senior at Gulf Coast Hospital in Fort Myers. He worked at the hospital as a sitter who monitored fractious patients overnight. He was watching a female patient to keep her from getting out of bed due to flight risk when he targeted the woman's roommate, whose bed was separated by a curtain. The victim told police that she first felt her right foot being touched around 11 p.m., but thought it was a nurse checking for swelling on my feet and ankles.
You love that.
No, I hate that.
You love.
No, I hate feet. I don't like elderly feet, and I damn sure don't like people sucking on other people's toes when it's unwarranted. The third time the woman's foot was touched, she recalled, it felt wet between my toes.
Oh.
When she looked up, there was a man on his knees next to my bed and his head bent over my foot.
Ugh.
She said she yanked her foot away and the man left to go back to the chair he occupied that night.
It was kind of sexy.
No, it wasn't. He has been ordered to have no contact with the victim and pleaded not guilty.
The victim?
And is free on...
She got a free foot bath and she's a victim?
Yeah.
I wish someone would lick my toes when I'm sleeping.
Friend of mine says the Masters is safe. They don't allow germs at Augusta National.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
Sir, sir, we don't allow germs at Augusta National.
I don't believe.
There's no coronavirus.
I don't believe corona is served here at Augusta.
God himself protects Augusta National, as long as we don't let women play.
That's right.
All right, that was your Sad Eye Jeweler's Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Sad Eye Jeweler gem of the day.
I think Jerome had one of his friends tweet at me that I was wrong because that's the only person who said that. So, congratulations, Robert Paulson. His name is Robert Paulson. You're the only person in the whole world who thinks Jerome was right. It's good that he's got a friend. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.